Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by Urban Float. Have you heard of them? Well, if you like to relax and disconnect, then you should check out Urban Float in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, located next to Rosenfeld's Jewish Deli and the new Ocean Atlantic Shopping Center on Route 1 North. Guests of Urban Float get to relax and float in their own flotation pod filled with purified skin temperature water and 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. The health benefits are profound. I love it. You can book your next float at urbanfloat.com. Just be sure to select the Rehoboth Beach location and use the code FIRSTTIME at checkout and receive 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, and revive at Urban Float. 3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Morning.
Day after Thanksgiving. Are you there? Are you alive? Is this going to be this kind of podcast where I got to pull every freaking word out of you?
I'm still napping from the turkey.
Are you sedated?
Very sedated.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
It was awesome.
Did you go to Black Friday?
We're going after the podcast. We're going to hit the outlets.
We do another podcast called Full Send. And we were talking about maybe recording the podcast live at Black Friday.
That'll be fun. You should go like in the middle of the night when all the crazy people are out.
Yeah, well, that would have been last night and we were going to do it. And then after we had dinner and all this, you know, and it was really windy and cold, I was like,
nope, not worth it.
Skip it.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. So you're going to go today.
Yes.
I guess, what did they do, like 50% off all night or something?
Well, I think the outlets have good deals all year round anyways. It's just kind of a tradition to go within the madness.
I think the outlets are where you buy your friends' stuff.
Yes.
Do you buy your stuff at the outlet?
Oh, yeah. Kirkland's, like, here I come.
What's Kirkland's?
It's like a home store, and they have a lot of nice decorations. And if you want to update your insides, you can... go there.
Your insides. I'd like to update my insides here at Kirkland.
They have a lot of nice stuff.
Well, good morning. So introduce yourself so the whole world knows who you are.
I am Michelle Ickes Arnold, and I just got married this summer.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Well, you and I go back, 10 years.
Yes, I used to work for you.
You worked for me. Well, you could call it really working.
Until you made me wash people's hair.
And blow dry.
That was disastrous.
Didn't you have to blow dry too?
Probably blocked that out of my mind if I had to.
You're good.
No, you're nice.
Well, listen, it's 10 years ago. I mean, you know, when I'm opening a salon and, you know, trying to get people to help me, I just like to see what people can do.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Sometimes it's even like podcasting, you know, you bring people in and get them involved and all of a sudden they just beam. The shine. Not that you were going to be a blow dryer.
An assistant.
Yeah, an assistant.
A blower.
Yeah, a blower. You weren't going to be doing that for a career, but, you know, sometimes it's fun.
No.
But we've passed that. So now but the whole time I've known you, you've always had the Sussex Dance Academy.
No, that's my good friend, Kate.
Oh.
Don't be like, you know, helping her out. Just kidding. Hi, Kate.
I was like...
No, she's my good friend. Wow. She has Sussex Dance Academy at Midway Shopping Center.
No, what is your place? I'm sorry.
It's okay. I like Kate. Kate rocks.
Kate rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get Kate on.
Yeah, Kate's really cool. I have First State Dance Academy in Milford, Delaware.
First State Dance Academy. Well, I'm sorry I screwed that up, but there's so many different versions of dance schools that it's hard to remember them all.
It's all good.
But you've always had that. You've always been doing that. That's always been your passion.
Going on my 19th year.
19th year, and you have... a pretty special event coming up.
Yes, my dance company is called Dance Company X because my last name used to start with an X, and now it's my middle name. And we're doing the Nutcracker Express at Milford High School next weekend, December 7th at 6 and December 8th, Sunday at 2, Milford High.
I think my kids have requested to go.
Yes, we had to bring them backstage.
Yeah, I know Sam. I know Sam and Teresa saw the poster on the wall. And good, so you came. I also do your hair. How's
yes,
your hair?
I love my hair. You are the king of hair.
Oh, well, thank you.
And you did not pay me for that, so.
Well, I'm glad you're happy with your hair.
Love my hair, even though I have these microphones, or what is this, headset?
Headphones.
Headphones.
But when you stopped by, yes, if you could put a poster in the window, and I said, absolutely. But you took two and glued them together and put it up, so when the kids were there this weekend, they saw the poster facing inside the salon.
It works, both sided.
Yeah, two sided. That was very smart. And
thanks.
The kids were like, can we go to this?
Because why? There's a train and a ballerina on it.
Probably. I mean, they were, I don't know if they know exactly what's going to take place, but they were
Well, see, the boys see intrigued. The train, and they want to come because of the train, and the girls see the ballerina with the Nutcracker, so the girls want to come. And our show is different because it's a Polar Express story mixed with the Nutcracker Ballet. There's so many people in the state of Delaware and our country and the world that just do the Nutcracker Ballet, which is great. It's a great Christmas tradition. But I had to come up with something different just to try to bring audience to our show compared to other people's shows. And it's also enjoyable for the people in the audience, such as yourself, not to be too extremely bored because it's a, quote, ballet.
Yeah.
We offer, like, jazz and hip-hop and ballet. It's like traditional Nutcracker minus the battle scene mixed with the Polar Express story. So it really works. We even do a hot chocolate scene. It's really fun.
So all of that takes place in this one show?
Yes.
Hip-hop, ballet, everything?
Yep. Wow. Broadway jazz and ballet. We even hired a male professional from New York City. He's coming in to dance with us, the Sugar Plum Pas de Deux with our local ballerina, Pas de Deux.
Well, and I think that's cool because that's the kind of stuff you offer in the class, right, in your school.
What?
Hip-hop.
Oh, yes.
I mean, all this seems like all the things that are going to take place in the show are different things you offer in the school.
Except for tap.
Except for tap.
We do tap at our school. But there's no tapping in this production, just jazz, hip-hop, and ballet.
Now, is that because you wanted to include everybody?
I just wanted to offer the audience a more of a variety mm-hmm. of styles of dance.
Right.
So they're not just staring at ballet the whole show. There is a character number to the Russian dance that I had to do some research on because I kind of wanted to make it more authentic than just what's in my head.
Right.
And so I did a little research on Russian, and we also have one of our dance moms. She made the Russian costumes from scratch, and she is from Bulgaria, so she did a fantastic job. Shout out to Christina.
Is that the lady I did her hair to?
No, that was my ballet or costume mistress.
Costume mistress. Wow. I'm like, hey, mistress, that's interesting. I think you've done the Nutcracker 19 years?
Well, my studio has been in business 19 years, and we used to have a company there. My beloved dance teacher, Tatiana Akamfieva-Smith, she was the one that trained me when I came to Delaware from South Carolina when I was a teenager. And she was employed by me and did her dance company while she was with me. And then she passed away. And she passed away a while ago. She was old. She was like in her 80s, and she was still teaching ballet. She was amazing. And when she passed away, I felt like it was the right time for me to go ahead and do my own thing.
So, and that kind of opens up the idea of the whole point of this podcast is, which is really one small business helping another. And it's always that, you know, we see someone's open and we know that they're passionate about something, but it's that, you know, whatever it is that pushes you to take that leap, because it's scary.
It is very scary when you're a small business owner, especially trying to pay bills and rent, but I have a great landlord that helps me out with that.
So, does the landlord help you pay the rent? That's awesome.
No, he discounts it.
Sweet.
He doesn't charge like what everybody else charges. And he really gives us a great discount because he's a small business owner too. He has Pools and Spas Unlimited in Milford. Mark Henderson and his wife are great people.
Nice. Well, I always would rather have, you know, a decent amount of rent every month than this exuberant amount, and then no rent the next month, and then possibly lose that tenant, right?
Well, with you and I, you depend on who walks in through your door and how much income you're going to bring in. It's not, like, guaranteed.
Right.
And same with me. Like, I never know how many people are going to sign up for classes every August, and I'm always hoping to pay my staff and pay the rent, and there's no way I could do it without my landlord.
Well, 19 years later, and it's still probably a little scary.
It is scary. Every year, every summer, I'm just holding my breath, but it always seems to work out.
Well, and I do the same thing, and then I have to go 10 years later, because I've only had this long 10 years, but...
That's good.
10 years later, even in the very beginning, you know, the ups and downs, and, you know, here we are, we made it.
Yay!
Matt used to always say, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, you'll be fine.
Good.
Sometimes I have to, you know, dumb it down like that for myself. I go, okay, I'm not doing those.
Well, you
should be okay.
Yeah, you should. You will be okay. But you made your salon smaller.
Yep.
And I actually like it better. It's more cozy.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that was in the beginning you think, oh, I'll speak for myself. When I opened the salon initially in the beginning, I was like, oh, it's got to be big and, you know, tons of different things offered, and you know, over 10 years later, and it's much smaller. We don't maybe offer half the things now.
What did you ever do with those pedicure thrones that we had to sit on?
They're still there.
All I needed was like a toilet underneath.
Yeah, you never would have had to move.
That thing was huge.
Well, actually, they were cool, but and in fact, when I shrunk the salon down, I was like, God, I don't want to just throw them away.
No, they were nice woodwork.
So I took the bottom pedestals off of them, mm-hmm. which shrunk the footprint a bit. And then I just stuffed them in the corner. So they're still in there.
Oh.
People like them. I need to actually get, there's like a little leather thing that holds your legs up. They get all cracked. So I need to get that leather replaced so they don't look so cheesy.
Some duct tape.
Exactly. So the, it's funny. We took the kids to New York City for the Nutcracker.
Oh, why'd you do that? I mean, our shows here are just as somewhat good.
Well, we didn't pay for it, for one.
Well,
my in-laws paid for it.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. We went up there. They actually got us a car, took us into the city.
Wow.
Took us to the Nutcracker. It was amazing. The kids loved it. They've actually changed that a bit. In fact, we went this time, and they actually had drones flying around inside there. They were all different colors. It was very cool.
Really?
Yep.
Well, if we had the money and the union of stage crew members and the theater facilities that they have, we could probably add a little more magic and effects to our shows.
But I have one drone you can have.
No, I'll probably crash it.
Boom, right into someone's head.
I could barely play Pac-Man, so no. Mm-mm.
So when you open this, studio, I mean, what was it like? I mean, did you just go on a hope and a dream and someone showed up, or did you have a...
I was lucky. Maria Fry had a dance class already established in Milford,
right.
And she approached me. I was actually a nurse, and she says, I've done all I can, and I feel like you can take it further. Would you like a dance studio? And I was like, what? I just went through nursing school and working for Dr. Kuroga in Dover. He's a cardiologist, great guy. And she just said, do you want it? I was like, what do you mean? I don't know what to do with a business. Like, I can teach, but she told me she would help me for a year while I took it over, and she was on my staff for years. So
for more than just 1 year.
Oh yeah, years, like S on the end of
it. It's probably hard to walk away from something like that when it's such a big part of your life.
Well, you had to pay the bills, and you have to have some security in your life,
right.
And the dance and art world isn't very secure, so I thought about it for a while and told her yes, and it was the best decision I ever made because it opened a lot of doors for other things.
How do you go from that transition of a child or a parent that is passionate about their child dancing, and then when the child becomes passionate, you know, and it kind of that transition, because I've got my kids into a lot of stuff early that they didn't turn out to be that interested in. But, you know, that's just my kids. But I know that, like, dancing, you know, I could say, you know, Teresa, let's go, let's do dancing, and then hopefully, eventually, she starts to... Teresa would probably be great in your class. She loves to dance.
Yeah.
She loves to spin and twirl and flip and all that great stuff.
Hey, Maddie, you'll have to ask her if she can do, like, splits and stuff.
No. Let's not injure her today.
No.
She's hanging with me at the salon today. I don't want her to go home hurt.
Well, when a parent puts their kid in an activity, they want them to be active. So my mom kept me active in ballet just to keep me out of trouble. I was curious about stuff, but ballet kept me focused. And luckily I had the talent. It kind of runs in our family. My dad's sister was a Rockette.
Okay.
And his mom was a Ziegfeld Follies dancer way back.
The Rockettes are the one where the Nutcracker show we went to.
Oh, you went to the Christmas show.
Yeah.
Up at Rockefeller. No, where was that?
Yep, Rockefeller.
Yeah.
Center.
Rockefeller, Christmas. I forget it. I never saw it. I lived there for 3 years. And you think I would have went.
It's very cool. The weird thing is I saw it maybe 10 years ago. And then I
Christmas
saw it.
Christmas Spectacular.
Yes.
That's what it is.
And then we saw it this year. And then I fell asleep the first time I went. And this time I actually stayed awake because they've done a lot of cool stuff. And
that explains the drones. I was concerned that there was drones flying around in Nutcracker. I'm like, whoa.
No, it was like 100 drones. It wasn't just, it was like that Pepsi commercial. Remember when all the drones were flying?
That's crazy.
When Christina Aguilera came down from the roof of the Super Bowl?
I don't remember that.
Oh, well. Anyway, go ahead.
What were you talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, parents.
Parents.
So a kid gets involved, and then around 11 or 12, they decide sports or dance. Because around that age, they are being evaluated to go on points, which means dancing on their toes with special shoes. And they decide, well, dance isn't really for me, and they quit, or I like it, I want to go on point. So they decide to stick with dance. So you can be in a dance class for many reasons, socially, an activity, or you might want to pursue a professional career. And at some point, your director or teacher should be able to talk to you and your parents about what's next, like what should they be doing. They should go away during the summers for sure. It's like a dance boot camp. They come back super strong and a lot better because they're dancing 6 days a week all day. And so with some guidance from their instructors and a lot of support from their parents and some of the kids' natural talent and their training, they probably have a good chance.
Nice. Well, what trends? I mean, is hip-hop, because I know hip-hop was pretty popular a while back. Is hip-hop still as popular?
Maddie, what's trending? That's my stepdaughter. She's here.
She's not on microphone.
No. What kind of dance is trending besides twerking?
Do you teach twerking there?
Ew. Go ahead. Hip-hop still.
So hip-hop is pretty popular.
Hip-hop and contemporary with, like, a lot of tricks. If you've ever seen World of Dance on TV... That is
World
amazing.
Of Dancers, so you think I can dance.
No, you can't dance.
No, I mean, there's not a show. And I can dance, excuse me. I'm not that guy. I'm not doing point or hip-hop, but I...
You can be in Chocodero.
Yeah.
Hip-hop and contemporary, a lot of great stuff. That show is amazing. I absolutely love and respect and adore that show.
It's on TV?
Yes. Yep.
What's it called?
World of Dance.
World of Dance, okay. Well, there was the show So You Think You Can Dance, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty serious dancing.
That is good, too. And their choreographer, Travis, I don't know his last name, but I love his stuff. He was a competitor, and then he was able to start choreographing, and I think he's brilliant.
Well, I used to watch that show when it very first came out and loved it. Mm-hmm. I watched it for many seasons, and, yeah, that guy, Travis, was a contestant.
Yes.
And the guy that plays, I don't know if you've ever seen Ellen DeGeneres' game show she does at night.
No.
But there's a black guy on there that does all of her music.
Oh, Twitch.
Yeah, Twitch. He was on there as well.
Yes, he's a great guy. I also had a high school student that reminded me a lot of Twitch. He had a great story and tragic story in his life, and dance was a great outlet for him. And I always try to get him to join or audition for that show. And I think he would have been the next Twitch.
What's a good age to start?
Well, girls, they can start young. I mean, every 2 or 3 year old wants to be a little ballerina. Mm-hmm. But guys, they can start as teenagers as long as they have that natural ability, which means they're born with turnout of the hips, nice feet, which means nice arches when they point their toes. They have a nice arch, flexibility. So there's several stories about guys starting as teenagers, but girls need to start under probably 10 years old. I had a 9-year-old that started. She was a female. Well, she is a female. And she's a professional ballerina now at First State Ballet.
Well, I remember when Riley was little and she was in dance at 9, 10 or whatever. And, you know, that day where you have to go to the recital. It's the whole day, you know, and there's, it's like stress at 10 plus.
Well, Nutcracker is kind of like that. It's a big production. It takes like a whole week and a lot of work and to set up the stage. We're there, you know, as much as we can with volunteer parents, which could not do the show without them. But we start, audition in August, and then we have weekend rehearsals, September, October, November. We have our final dress rehearsal in the studio this Sunday, and our mayor is coming to our show, so he gets to go up and say hi to everyone, Archie Campbell. And the kids, you know, it's stressful, but it's exciting for them.
I'm a mayor.
Hmm?
I'm a mayor.
Mayor of what?
Luton, Delaware.
It's Luton.
You never heard of it?
No, Tom.
Luton is half Lewis, half Milton.
Nice.
For the people that can't afford Lewis, they get stuck here in the corner of Luton, Delaware.
That's great. Well, Milton is getting up there in costs, though, I think.
I love Milton. I am. Well, and that's the other thing. I mean, so you're in Milford.
Right.
Which, I like Milford. You know, I feel like if you're not going to live at the beach, it's either Milton or Milford.
Right, the place I live in, the same builders built the same places down behind Lowe's further south, and they were like $100,000 more for like the same place just because of where it it's located. So I'm like, no, 20 minutes. Everything is 20 minutes in Delaware, or in Delaware anyways.
Well, it almost seems like it would be a better fit for that in Milton. I mean, Milford, because, you know, down here, it's like you have a bunch of people live here and then a bunch of people leave.
Right.
Definitely a lot of an older generation that live here.
Seasonals, retire people from New Jersey, they come down here because the property tax is way better than up there. And
the property tax, well, God, it's better than like New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. You can't. That's ridiculous.
Someone was talking to me this morning that someone, well, Preston Shell or Shell are building new residence areas for people that like work in the area.
Oh.
More of a lower income type of house, whether it's townhouses or houses. I don't think it's apartments, but real more focused to, you know, the people that actually work in this town. And maybe that, maybe try to bring in a younger crowd down here, a little less retired.
It seems like the kids are not staying in New York City or wanting to go to San Francisco. It's just too expensive for rent. So they're going to try to find places where there's jobs and affordable housing because a lot of people are living with their parents. You know, they just can't afford it. It's terrible.
One of the fun things I remember when I used to do with Riley is that in the beginning there was a, when she first started dancing, there was a little boy. I think maybe there were two boys. Aww. And I think they probably came in because they were interested in hip-hop.
Neat.
And, you know, over the years of her doing it, the little boy stayed, you know, and he kept getting better and better and better. And I think in the beginning, even I may have even said, geez, you know, what's he doing up there? You know, because it's I think as a boy, you probably don't think you fit into dance. But you see a lot more boys and stuff doing it now.
Boys have it hard. I mean, when they're young, they don't get teased, and kids at younger ages don't recognize gay, straight, or race. They're just supportive, and they don't really care what you're doing. But as you get older, junior high, high school, then you start getting teased and bullied about being a dancer. So a lot of boys, like, shy away from it. And I hear all the time, like, the mother wants their son in dance, but, the, you know, she'll tell me, well, my husband said, no way, you're not putting my kid in dance. But the funny thing is, ballet would be great for athletes. I actually did a ballet program for Sussex Central. I taught dance down there for 9 years, started a dance program, and taught the football players, wrestlers, baseball, like guys and girls, a ballet program geared towards athletes. And it really helped. And they gained a new respect after the class because they were pretty much like wincing and quote unquote crying in pain after the 1 hour of the workout. And it's, I think, you know, ballet should be incorporated, especially for football players. It's like perfect for them.
Well, there's a boxer, and I don't know his name. I forget his name, but he's a Russian boxer, and he is like phenomenal. And he started boxing early, and then his dad took him out of boxing and put him in dance. And for a long time, he did dance.
Isn't there a movie on that? Like a kid was supposedly going to boxing, but he decided to sneak in the ballet lessons. Do you know that?
I think that was
Billy.
And he became the White Swan. Billy.
Elliot?
Billy Elliot. Yeah, something
I
like
think
that.
So.
Yep, I love that movie.
Me too.
Except you couldn't understand what I'm saying. He's like, oh, you know, he was like from Ireland or something.
I don't remember, but.
Hey, get your hand in the damn house. He's like, any closed caption on this, please? But that, you know, that's a great, because that kind of, at the end of that movie, that dude was a badass.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was chiseled out.
Well,
and
male ballet dancers are. I mean, they're solid and they're strong. Like when I had injuries, I went to AI DuPont as a teenager, and the guy up there treating me also treated the Eagles. And he tested my leg strength because I had knee problems. Mm-hmm. And he said my legs were just as strong as a professional football player.
Wow.
And I called him Dr. Pizza Man because it was like, it started like a pizza name. But
Pizza Money?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. But he was a really great guy, but he was shocked on how strong ballet dancers are. And we have great agility, too. So football players need that agility.
Flexibility.
And flexibility to, you know, like escape from being tackled or jumping over the bunch of dudes to get that score. And
Do you dance still?
I take adult ballet once in a while.
Okay.
We offer that now. And I'll get up there and take it. But I'm not in any shape like I was. It's different teaching than taking.
Mm-hmm.
So teaching, you really don't have to do it completely full out. But taking, you do everything full out, and it's hard. Like I never realized how hard ballet is because I grew up with it, so it was normal for me. But me to go back now and start taking it after 20 or 30 years not taking it, I can't like lift my leg very high off the ground anymore, and like things are harder. And it's amazing to me that ballet takes so many years to actually get it and understand it. And that's what I'm trying to teach my parents and kids, to be patient, because, you know, everybody wants to move up every year, but you know, it's only by ability individually. It's not just, oh, you're 12 now, you can go on point or you can move up. But it's a serious thing, and dance can be dangerous. It can hurt you if you're not ready, or it can discourage you. And point work, same thing. I get angry when I see people, you know, at other studios putting kids on point under 10 years old. You're messing with their growth plates. You're messing with their bones. You're messing, like, they can get permanently injured to where they, you know, won't be able to walk, or they're going to have deformed feet and ankles. Like, it's a serious thing. And I think parents need to advocate more for their children and do the research before they agree to let a place put somebody on point, like 10 and under. Like, scary.
Well, I know. I don't appreciate dance, you know, because I don't do it.
Right.
But, like, I started doing yoga, and I was like, well, what's yoga? I'm getting old. I think yoga is my thing now. I can maybe do that. And
that's hard.
Well, and I took this class, this beginner's yoga class upstairs, and for some reason, and I've done yoga a few times, but this time I'm like, wow, this is really about, like, you know, if you hold a position long enough, muscles start burning, you know?
Yeah, there's different types of yoga.
Well, exactly, but it's still, I think it's based on yoga, right? I mean, I think you can speed it up. I mean, I think you can go from pose to pose to pose really quick. You can heat up the room. Right. There's clearly different kinds, but, you know, even the beginner yoga where, you know, you hold the one pose, just learning it, after a few seconds, you're like, wow, that starts to...
Yeah,
because you're
balancing and you're holding, like, a body part. It's not easy.
Well, and I think society wants us to think about, like, you know, our building our chest and our arms and our legs and our physical look, but we don't realize how much the core plays a role, especially, I'm sure, in dance.
Big time. We don't have crunches in the ballet class, but we encourage our kids to do certain things at home, or if they have rehearsal on the weekend, they're sitting around, like, throw yourself down, do a plank for a minute. You know, it doesn't take much to work on your core, and you definitely need that to control your balance.
And the nice thing about those classes, or, you know, teaching people, is that you kind of do it as a group. You start together. If I just tried to do a plank for a minute, I'm not sure I could even do it.
Well, you start shaking maybe after 20 or 30 seconds, but you get through it.
Sugar shakes.
It's terrible. You feel like you're just going to, like, explode, but no, it works.
Well, and it's fun when you're doing it with the group, right? And you can start, the kids can rely on one another, and the parents can kind of rely on one another. It takes like a village, right?
It does. And it's a nice society, and it's almost kind of like your family because you grow up together, you know, if you stick with the same studio.
Well, that's one of the cool things about, I think, living in a small town, like even podcasting, you know, get a group of people, you know, where in a big city, you may have a dance class, and then the people come, and then they go, and they never see one another again.
You don't
again.
Socialize with them. You right. just cram yourself in there and leave.
The podcast we started doing here, one of the, Jenna, who does another podcast, she started a group text, you know, a group message for all the people in the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, how cool is that? You know, they were like, you know, we set up meetings and talking calendars and stuff, and it's just kind of cool that we can do that these days, because back in the old days, we didn't have Messenger, or
we didn't have anything. We had to, like, go to find a payphone and call somebody.
Start fire, put up smoke. That was Messenger.
I don't remember how I ever made it in New York City. Like, we didn't have cell phones. We would wait for the phone book to come out so we'd have a subway map, and somehow we'd call each other and say, "Okay, meet here," and then you hope everybody shows up, and or you find payphones, and but we managed.
Right. Well, I was watching Seinfeld last night. Actually, I was watching YouTube, but I think it was Funny Moments of the Costanzas. Did you ever watch Seinfeld?
Yeah, a little bit here and there.
And Elaine gave George's father's TV guide away.
Ooh.
He's like, how do you watch TV without the TV guide? You know, it's like, it makes sense. I mean, but now today we have, you know, the guide and all this stuff.
Yeah, everything's
cable.
on your TV. You don't even have to have a VHS anymore to tape your shows. I mean, this is DVR.
Well, there's a CD player over there in the corner that I don't know if it'll ever get used.
Wow.
So Nutcracker, and then what? Because this isn't, how many shows do you do a year?
It depends on my brain.
Well, brain
and
brain
funds.
This year?
My brain's great. Brain and funds. we went nonprofit this year, so we're able to accept a lot of donations and sponsors. And we,
is that what you have to do to get sponsorship? Be a nonprofit?
People will be more inclined to give you some money if they can write it off and know that you're a nonprofit. It kind of helps them, kind of helps us. So we almost made enough to pay for our guest male dancer. But putting on a show takes thousands of dollars. You have to pay custodians, lighting, the rental space. You had to buy like props and updated costumes. There's advertising, like postcards and flyers. It just takes a lot.
Do you have a website? Like if someone listens to this podcast and is like, oh my God, I want to help.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I want to donate. I want to support, sponsor.
Please. We have a First Aid. I'm sorry, that's my studio. Studio is First State Dance Academy Company's Dance Company X. And we have a Facebook page. It's Dance Co dash X as an X-ray. And our website is Dance Co. So that's short for company. DanceCo-X.com is our dance company. Our dance company is kind of unique because we don't just do classical ballets. We're able to bring in people like actors. When we did Twilight Ballet when that first came out, we had martial artists. We had a bunch of guys, black belt guys.
I remember that.
Playing wolves on stage. And they told me, we're not dancing. Well, I introduced them to the girls, and they started doing a little bit of dancing for like the prom scene, and then they were all about it. It was so cute. So they actually wound up doing a lot of partnering dancing with the girls.
So you think what you're saying is girls influenced them?
Of course. You know? But
this is new.
I wish the dudes.
A new trend.
I wish we'd get more guys because I wish people wouldn't tease them. But homeschool kids, if you're homeschooled and you're a boy, then that seems to be the new trend, like with getting more guys in the dance because they're not being teased or bullied by the other kids. But I always would tell them, so just blow them off or tell them to come and try it. Like if you're gonna make fun of it, why don't you come try it?
Well, and these shows, like So You Think You Can Dance and
Dance with the Star, World of Dance.
I mean, they have to kind of, being shining a little bit of more light on dancing for boys because.
Ballroom dancing. I'm like, you guys, boys make a lot more money in the ballet world than the girls. Like, I'll give you an example. If you hire like a local male guy for it to do your Nutcracker show, they'll get like $1,500, for two or three shows.
What do you think they should do it for money?
Most ballet dancers are poor. They normally, along with a contract, they normally have to have a second job.
Well, so you're not doing it for the money.
No.
You need to do it for the love of dancing.
You do it for the love. And the best part about it is when you get a contract and you go and you get on that stage and you look out into the audience in the theater, that was like the highlight.
Yeah. Well, I watched So You Think You Can Dance. I go, I wish I'd have danced. But I didn't.
No, the world needs your talents for hair.
Well, we'll see. I like podcasting.
We're doing a ballet to Harry Potter in the spring.
Okay, well, that was my question. So what's the next?
The next thing is that we're going to do it at Cape Henlopen High School. I think it's April 25th on a Saturday.
April 25th on a Saturday.
On a Saturday.
Springish.
It is inspired by the first movie of Harry Potter, and we're calling it Wizarding World of Magic because I had to be careful with all the copyright issues.
Wizarding
World of Magic.
That's cool.
So I haven't created it yet. I'm waiting to get through the Nutcracker Express, and then I'll start working on it.
Well, I know. So how many shows do you do it?
We do two main ones, like one in like the Nutcracker Express, and then sometimes we'll do a spring one. It depends on our funds and how well we did with Nutcracker.
Do you have you had any trouble? I mean, have you not been able to put on a show? You haven't had enough funds, or has it always seemed to work out?
Well, last year, doing the new Nutcracker Express, it costs money because you had to build your sets and you had to get costuming. We had to hire a policeman last year because the school district, Milford High School, is requiring a police officer on the campus when you're doing a show during the day. We're providing a show for school children at a very discounted rate. Mm-hmm. So we have about 800 coming next Friday. So, just adding all the expenses on to doing a show makes it hard to make that income to produce the spring show. Nutcracker normally produces enough income to get you to a spring show because spring shows usually don't make that much money. That's why I'm always trying to create new ballets that are interesting to people to actually get them to come to the theater.
What do you think decides between, like, if I'm going to go become, if I want to sign up for dance, I mean, what, you know, we live in the world of social media now. Hmm. I mean, how do you make your footprint bigger to attract more people? Because I know just starting this podcast, I've had to kind of get into the social media game more than I would. I mean, I don't hate social media. I'm not that guy. I think it's fine, but it's something I don't really want to address daily or even multiple times in a day. And it's taking that kind of effort on my part to try to even start something new, like a podcast. Are you having to address your social media game, or are you just like, whatever?
Well, that's...
Or is that what your new stepdaughter is for?
She helps me. Like, how do you do this?
Well, and that's that's my second question. I mean, you know, my kids, my son David, I mean, they, you know, I have to really ask them, hey, can you help me with certain things?
Yep.
And have you had to do that, or what do you think?
Well, I'm having an issue with Facebook with my dance studio now because somehow some lady took over my page and she's the new owner, and it's a bad person.
It's like, now, did you?
I don't know. She like hacked me somehow, and I can't get a hold of Facebook to get my page back, my dance studio page. So I had to start another page, but I think it only works by invite only. So I'm struggling with trying to get help from Facebook, and I have absolutely no clue to get a hold of them. I emailed them. I've reported the page.
So your so it's a business page?
It's my business page.
And so it should be associated with your...
Personal. It is, but I need help trying to get my page back because it's a person that... I can't say it over the air.
So did you make them an administrator or something to the page?
I was the administrator and owner, and somehow this person took over. And it's not like a Joe Schmo person. Her name is Shayna, and it's free, meet, and F-U, and then star, and pound sign. So I know it's kind of like a spam, or I don't... It's horrible, and I have over 1,000 followers.
Did you change your password?
Yeah, but I can't get the ownership back of my business page. She has it. This person or whatever it is has it. She's not posting anything, but I can't post stuff. I can't do advertising.
You should be able to go in there and change it.
Mm-mm, can't. I have no access to page roles and assignments anymore. Weird. My editors are still on there, so I'm able to reach out to them and ask them to do stuff for me, but I don't want to annoy them too much. I'm really disappointed because Facebook, it really helps with the advertising more so than anything because I can't afford, you know, TV advertising. But Facebook is...
Well, I will tell you this, that I'm not sure Facebook is all... and I love Facebook and I use it, but I think really that what people are using is Instagram.
Well, that's when Maddie's going to help me with that stuff. Instagram, what else? Twitter.
Well, but, you know, on an Instagram, do you have a page for your business?
We do.
So what I started doing is I start doing these, you know, to the story every day. You have to post something and try to have fun and because it gets seen. It's put in front of everybody and they see it and then, you know, they can react to it. I think people are looking at stories now more than they're...
Facebook page. I think Facebook page is getting more towards older people. I don't think the young kids are really into it.
Well, my son, Sam, he's like, oh, if I had that picture of that cat, I could get 5,000 likes on TikTok.
What's TikTok?
TikTok is...
Oh.
Yeah, it's not good. We're getting left behind.
Oh, I don't know.
That's what I love about you, Michelle. We're both old.
You're older.
You're old. You're old, girl.
That's why I have you, to get rid of my grays.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, between... some color in your hair and you doing dance, you'd probably make it a long time.
So I found out recently the Schwartz Center.
Dell
State University has taken over the Schwartz Center in Dover. It's a beautiful theater. Like, you walk in there and you're like, oh, I don't feel like I'm in Dover or Delaware anymore. But they are allowing rentals now. So we might be doing our Harry Potter show in April at the Schwartz Center. So that's kind of exciting news that they're opening back.
That's very cool. Now, have you ever had like teamed up with another studio, or is that against the rules?
No, I've tried and tried and tried to say, hey, do you want to team up? Do you want to do a show together? But it just seems like nobody wants to. It seems like everybody just wants to do their own thing. And it probably gets tricky with who's going to pay for expenses and how you're going to split profits and how are we going to like transport our kids to your studio to rehearse and vice versa. And who's going to choreograph this and who's going to do that and who's going to be in charge? Like, I think it's just too complicated.
Too much ego.
Well, I guess. I don't know. But I don't care. It would be nice to be able to collaborate with others and work out a way you can still have your own freedom and each, you know, contribute to the show with your choreography or ideas. I think everyone just is comfortable with the way they are.
Well, we talked about this, or not you and I, but on the podcast quite a bit early on, but, you know, the cooperation over competition, you know, as dance studio, hair salon, you hear somebody opening up, you're like, oh, brother. Especially right. Early on, I was like, oh, brother, there goes business. And, but, you know, over time, it works out.
It does.
And I try to take more of the cooperation over competition attitude these days, you know, whereas maybe you wouldn't want to mention their names. Oh, I'm not mentioning their names. But today, you know, it's like, send them a fruit basket. How can I help? What can I do to help you get started? Sometimes the higher road is a little more serene.
Well, people, if they're not happy with you, they're going to go somewhere anyways. So if there's a place, you know, down the street, as long as their kid's still dancing, let them go. Right. And then people may not be happy over there and they'll come back to me, or, you know, it does even out. It is a little stressful knowing that, hey, I could be doing better if there wasn't competition. But competition, in a sense, makes you better. It makes you strive to, like, improve upon your own business and what you're offering.
Right. Well, and I always say, if it's, you know, if it takes a business to close down so that you get new clients, you know, the struggle's real.
But I mean, then another one's going to always open up. And,
right, exactly.
You know, it's just how it works. I mean, do you ever look at a corner as like a Wawa and Royal Farms? Or you have Rite Aid and CVS. It's like always directly across from each other. It's like crazy.
How do you stay passionate?
Oh, I've done a lot of things. Like, I've been an EMT, a firefighter.
And I will say that. That's one of the things I love about you as well, is you're just a hustler.
Hustler, trying to pay the bills. Worked in restaurants, worked in state police communications. I mean, I've done a lot, and ballet has always been in my blood since I was little. Mom put me in it. Thanks, Mom. And just things happen if they're meant to be. Like Maria, when she approached me and said, do you want the studio? All that came back in my life. So I took it, and it's the best thing I ever did. And they opened up the doors for me to start a dance program at Sussex Central High School. And I started that from scratch, like with 20 kids. And it grew to over 200 in the full-time position. And I stopped doing that because the state passed a law where you had to have your practice and a degree. And they didn't care if you were a professional ballerina or not. They just wanted those letters next to your name. So I had to give that up. It took me years to get over. But it's still going. The dance program's still going. And I'm so happy about that. Learned a lot about teenagers and helped them, give them a reason, some of them, to come to school. They even told me, like, I would have never graduated if there wasn't a dance program here. So that really taught me a lot and gave me more love and passion towards dance. And I wouldn't want to do anything else at this point in my life. I love choreographing. I love teaching these kids. I love all the great stories coming out of our academy because of my staff and I working well together to produce a lot of successful stories about the kids. And we have all those listed on our website, firstaiddance.com, that you can see all their accomplishments. We even helped, like, we were part of one girl's journey to Russia. She was the only American to be invited to train in St. Petersburg. Like, it was, like, an exciting, like, we have a lot of great stories.
So firstaid.com?
First Aid Dance.
firstaiddance.com. But at that website location, you can find links to all the other stuff about, like, donating and trying to help out.
I never thought to do a link to donate, so I'll bend your ear about that.
Oh, shit. I'm not sure I know how to do that. I just, well, because the other website that you mentioned, DanceX.
DanceCo-X.
DanceCo-X.com
is my ballet company. And maybe I can set up a PayPal or something for donating.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, one thing you want it to be is easy to find.
Right.
Because, you know, there's people that, you know, we donate to a lot of things, but some of our local things, I think people are recognizing, need a little bit of help.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we're all volunteers, and they're kids. They're like 7 years old and up, and they're giving up their weekends, and like, every night during the week, they're almost in classes every night, and they work really hard, and they deserve a chance and an outlet to be able to perform their talents and present it to everybody else.
Well, and I know that, like, it seems like the farther we get towards the beach, the struggle is to find, like, permanent, like, coaches and teachers and dance people. Because, as you know, as we get up to Wilmington, it gets pretty much a more solidified business. Like, I know, for example, when my kids were doing soccer and I brought them over to do the soccer, and they're like, we don't have a coach for your team. I was like,
jeez.
Oh, and I remember I volunteered to do it, just thinking, you know, hey, I'll help out. But man,
you need population to.
Well, and
to
the
have
people
that.
Were very like, you know, quick to like attack me, you know, if I wasn't doing a certain thing. I'm like, you know, I'm just trying to. There was no one, you know, and I'm trying to be more than no one.
No one should say anything unless they're willing to help.
But man, the people turned on me, or I shouldn't say the people. One lady turned on.
Well, it only takes that one person.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm out of here. I quit.
Bye.
But I showed back up the next week because it couldn't. You know, I couldn't.
It's all
quit.
About the kids.
Couldn't
gotta
quit
think
out
that.
On the kids.
Gotta think about the kids.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on. You know, I wanted to get that. You know, I just did your hair the other day, and I know
loved
you have
it.
A lot of
love
stuff going on, and I wanted to shine a little light on that. But I also think you're a great friend.
You're
and
awesome.
I appreciate that. We've been friends for a long time.
Yes.
And I love it. So anytime you got something going on, you come down here and
I love you, Tom.
Oh, I love you, man. Well, listen, and you're pretty, but it's
thanks to you.
Yeah. Right. Well. True.
Makeup.
Like I said, so if you got maybe when you get ready to do the Harry Potter show, maybe you'll come back.
Yeah, I would love to.
And maybe we'll get your stepdaughter to tell us what she thinks of the podcast. And
you want to talk about food?
She says I talk about food too much.
No, it's great. No, though, I think your first podcast
where
you're the restaurant guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like
oh, the restaurant guy. Scott Kammer?
And it was talking about like, how you work at Cronin's.
Oh, Brian Geiger. You know what? That's actually very nice that you said that because that's a great story. And what she's saying is she's talking about Brian Geiger, who worked at Grotto's and is now the head chef over at, where is he? The head chef? Now he put me on the spot. DeFebo's. So he was just on again. In fact, I got to upload his podcast. He just sent me a text. So anyway, we'll have to get your stepdaughter on the podcast so people know who she is.
Yeah, she's good.
Is
she's
good?
A good talker. If you get her on this microphone, you guys will have a ball.
All right. Well, listen, Michelle, thank you. I'll put the website and all the information in the description. And if people want to donate to help you out with your never-ending battle with putting out shows for the kids.
And our public. Like, we need to be entertained.
We do.
And you don't have to go out of the state. I mean, our shows are pretty good.
Well, and I think more towns are starting to recognize this. And as a person that lives in this town, there's not a lot of stuff to do.
We do have a movie trailer on the Nutcracker Express on YouTube. So if you guys want to go to YouTube and search Nutcracker Express promo, you can see like a minute of it and kind of get an idea.
See, that needs to be on your Facebook page. There's a link.
Okay.
You need to link it.
Okay, I will.
So you don't, you know, you always want to send people to your page and never have them leave.
Gotcha.
All right. You got your scolding. All right, Michelle. Hey, have a great day. I always say anybody that comes on this podcast.
Gets a free haircut.
Hey.
Hey, just kidding.
No, but you took an hour out of your day where you might have been able to do something more productive. So
sleep
I
in.
Appreciate it. Sleep in. All right, Michelle. Well, listen, have a great day.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
You rock.
All right, bye.
You can talk now.